Today's shiur is Daf Kuf Tezvav, and we're going to begin with the new perek. In way of introduction for today's perek, for this perek, Shabbos, we're going to learn in this perek, if there's a fire, you're not allowed to obviously extinguish it, but Chazal also told us that you're not allowed to carry anything in the house out. Why? Because as we're going to learn, since a person is very concerned about his finances, ishorisley, if we let him start carrying things out of the house, we're concerned that he's going to extinguish the fire. So that's why Chazal said, you have to leave things as they are. There's a question, how far that gezeirah exists. The first Tosfos of the Perek tells us, that's only if there's a fire in the house that I'm in. But let's say there's a fire in the city, and the house that I'm in, Baruch Hashem, is fine, but I'm concerned that the fire might spread to this house. So Tosfos says, then you can carry things out of the house. Why? Because since it's not such a serious situation, the fire isn't right here, right now, so I don't have to be worried, and I can carry things out. Also, there's a machlokes rishonim. When we say that you can't carry things out, what does that mean? Some rishonim say it means what I just said. You're not allowed to carry anything out. Other rishonim say, and this is an important introduction to this parak, that you can't carry it out to a chotzer. Let's say you live in an apartment house, and you have, not an apartment house, you live in any house, and there's a yard, which is shared, it's not your private yard. So that yard, you can't carry things out, because I'm scared that if you're going to carry it out to the yard, you may carry it out to the Rishus Rabbin. But what about if you live in an apartment house? So the halacha is, if each one of us has a separate apartment in the apartment house, you have to make an Erev to be able to carry in the common areas. Because why? Because this is my private area. This is a Rishus HaYochid, but it's not as much of a Rishus HaYochid as my home. So I need to make an Erev. But it's still within the building. So some Rishonim say that since it's within the building, even though it's not as much of a Rishus HaYochid as my apartment, I could carry it out to the common areas. Why? So the Bach explains, because a person realizes the difference between carrying within the house and outside the house. So just because I let him carry in the house, doesn't mean he'll carry outside the house. Others say no. Chazal said, you can't carry anything out of the house. However, says our Perek, there is an exception. The exception is Kisvei HaKodesh, something that's a safer, and we're going to spend time to identifying what is a safer, that you're allowed to carry. But only to do a Rabbanim. That means you can't carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. That would be a Daraisa. That Chazal wouldn't tell you to carry because of fire. They're only allowing you to carry into an area where it's also Rabbanim. That means carrying from your house to the Chatzar. And the way Rashi and the Rishonim explain, even if there is no Erev in the Chatzar, makes no difference. Because that's only Issa Derabbanan. But if it's a Deraisi, you're not allowed to carry. Why were Chazal lenient? Because we're dealing with Kisvei HaKodesh. So again, I reiterate, this doesn't help you for Deraisa. So the Mefarshim say a great example. Let's say you want to take down the mezuzah. There's a fire. You want to take down the mezuzah and carry it. That would be Aser. Because that's Soiser. Sois is a deraisa. Some Rishonim, there's a machlokes Rishonim, what's going to be the halacha if the Kisvei HaKodesh in question are muksa? Muksa is only the Rabbanim. So can you carry them? It was saying that the Rabbanim are okay. You should be allowed to. On the other hand, it's not so simple. And I'll tell you how I understand the question. Because there's really a fundamental question. If we're saying that by Kisvei HaKodesh, Chazal were lenient in letting us do Issa Derabbanan, so then the entire putting out the fire is a Malach HaShem Tzrich L'Gufa. putting out the fire. Like we explain Lachshen Tzrich L'Gufa, that you're only doing in response to a situation that you don't want. So every time putting out a fire is a Lachshen Tzrich L'Gufa, a coin to Shimon, it's a Drabbanan. So some say, an interesting answer, a Lachshen Tzrich L'Gufa doesn't mean that it's not the same as every other Drabbanan. Lachshen Tzrich L'Gufa is a more chomer Drabbanan, it's a more stringent Drabbanan. But perhaps Pshat is, and that's the same thing with Muktzah. It's not Chazal went and said all the Rabbanans are set aside by a fire, by Kisvei HaKadosh. Carrying, that I'm going to set aside. But I'm not going to start telling you to carry Muktzah. I'm not going to start telling you to extinguish fires, because otherwise there's no line even by Kisvei HaKadosh. So the parak begins, called Kisvei HaKadosh. Mefarshim explain, how does this parak come after the last parak? So say, two pshatim I saw. One pshat is that the first part of the Masechta, it's more than the first part, the first two-thirds of the Masechta discussed the Issa D'Oraisas. Now we're going to start talking about the Rabbanans. Another pshat is that I saw that since we're going to learn later in this parak that you could prepare, that even though we're limiting what you could do, but to take out food for meals for Shabbos, that you're allowed to. And yesterday we also spoke about what you're allowed to prepare from one meal to the next. So that's why this parak fits after the next parak. What's the language of Kol Kisvei HaKadosh? All Kisvei HaKadosh? So some Mefarshim say, comes to say that we don't only mean Torah, but it includes Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which is a hard pshat because the Mishnah explicitly says Nevi'im and Ksuvim are included. So others say it comes to include Shira Shirim and Kehelas, which is a machloikis if they have the status of Kisvei HaKadosh, because the halach is, the Mishnah says, that Kisvei HaKadosh metaminas yadayim, but there's a question if that applies to Shir Shirim and Kehelas also. So the parak tells us, kol Kisvei HaKadosh, even Shir Shirim and Kehelas, matzilas and like could be salvaged by a fire, to be carried out with its Issed Rabbanah to carry. Says the Mishnah, bein shekarim behen, bein she'en karim behen. Whether they are Nevi'im, this way Rashi explains, that we use on Shabbos, or whether they are Ksuvim, that we never have a Torah out of Ksuvim, which we'll explain in a minute. Abish Ksuvim B'chaloshin, continues the Mishnah, even if they're written in any language, not necessarily Hebrew, says the Mishnah, V'tu'unim G'niza, if a Kisvei HaKadosh gets ruined, or you can't use it, they have to be buried. Now the Mishnah goes back and says, why are you not allowed to have ksuvim? Why are you not allowed to read ksuvim on Shabbos? So Rashi says, two pshatim, why ksuvim are not read in Shabbos. One pshat, Rashi says, is because they don't have any aftira from ksuvim. Another pshat, Rashi says, is that on Shabbos afternoon, they used to have a shir, the Rav gave a shir, and Ksuvim is very nice and very interesting, and they were concerned that people are going to read Ksuvim at home, they're not going to come to the Shir. So they prohibited learning Ksuvim. The only problem is, the Mishnah says, so the second Pshat works perfectly. If you're going to read Ksuvim, you're not going to come to the Shir. But the first Pshat that says, because there's no Aftira of Ksuvim, what does that have to do with Bittul Beis HaMedrash? So I saw two answers to that question. One answer is that the Pshat of that there's no haftira from ksuvim has to agree to the second pshat. It's not two pshatim, they agree. Or another pshat is like this. Why did Chazal say that you shouldn't have haftira from ksuvim? Really what Chazal should have told us is that every Shabbos they should have two haftiras, one from Nevi'im and one from ksuvim. Why did Chazal tell us not to do it? Because they were afraid that davening would take too long in the morning and there would be no time to come to the shir in the afternoon. So that's why they don't have a haftira from ksuvim. Itma. So says the Mishnah. Hay ksuvim targum. If they were written the targum. So the way most Rishonim explain, Rashi, this is the way Rashi ends off, that you're not allowed to really have ksuvim or Nevi'im translated. Hay ksuvim targum b'chaloshin. If hunam ematzilay sabim neid leika, you're not allowed to save it. You are allowed to save it. So Rashi goes back and forth with this. What is the Gemara including the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel or not? First Rashi says maybe not, because Targum Yomser Min Zil is more than just a translation. Then it says maybe he does. Says the Gemara, Aliva the Mandom Nitnu Likrois Behen, according to the Mandom, which we're going to quote, the Gemara Masechet Megillah, that says that you're allowed to translate all Kisvei Kodesh to Kulam LePligid Mitzilin. Certainly allowed to save them. They have a full-fledged status of Kisvei Kodesh. Kli Pligia, leave the Mandom alone, Nitnu Likrois. It's according to Mandom that you're not allowed to translate it. So it's very important that we make this statement at the beginning of today's Shir. Tosfos says that this whole Gemara is not relevant in our times. Because truthfully, you shouldn't even be allowed to write Gemara. Tarish Bapeh is Tarish Bapeh. Just what? Eis Lasis LaHashem, Heferu Tarasecha, and they allowed us to write Torah, Shabapeh. And just like there was a heter to write Tarish Bapeh, there is the same heter to translate Tanakh for people that can't understand the Lashon Kodesh. There's an interesting Ravid. The Ravid says you only have a heter to translate Tanakh for somebody who can't understand in the original. Somebody who could understand in the original should not learn it in translated form. But the Mishnah Berurah says that even the Ravid will agree that that's by Torah Shebiksav. But Torah Shebapeh, let's say somebody could understand the Gemara in the original, but it's easier for him to understand it in a translation. He's allowed to learn in the translation because it's Torah Shebapeh. Torah Shebiksav, nowadays certainly can be translated. But we're talking in those times. So keep Liga, leave the man to Amma Loy Nitnu Likrois Behen, that you should not have translated them. Rav Huna Amma, Emetzilin. Such Kisvei Kodesh should not be salvaged. The Loy Nitnu Likrois Behen, they should have never been translated. Rav Chisda Amma Metzilin, you should still save them. Why? Mishon Bezayin Kisvei Kodesh. It's still Kisvei Kodesh, and we have to worry about their honor. Ask the Gemara tonight, we just learned in the Mishnah, Kol Kisvei Kodesh, Metzilin Shem Bnei Leika. You're allowed to save all Kisvei Kodesh. Ben Shekarim Behen, Ben Shein Karim. Whether you're allowed to read them, when you're not allowed to read them. That be Sheksuvim B'Loshin Choloshin. Now, says the Gemara, my love, what does the Mishnah mean? Shekarim Behen is referring to Nevi'im, because Nevi'im, we said, are read on Shabbos. V'Shein Karim Behen is referring to Ksuvim, because as we explained before, Ksuvim, we said, you're not allowed to learn on Shabbos. And then what does the Mishnah continue saying? That that even though they're written in every language, what the halacha is, that you're not supposed to read them, and still says, you should be matzal them, to yuftu the Rav Huna. So we have a question on Rav Huna that says, that according, that something that's not supposed to have been translated should not be saved. Amlach Rav Huna. So now asks Rav Huna, V'tizbra, is that shot in the Mishnah? Aim a safer. Let's continue the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Tuna Gneza. Now what do you have to do with these Kisvei Kodesh when you don't want to, when you need to discard them? You have to bury them. Asks Rav Huna, if that's shot in the Mishnah, I don't understand. Hashta Tzuli Metzlina. Of Shabbos you're allowed to carry. Gneza Meboy, is there a question that you have to treat them respectfully during the week? So we have to do something with this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna Matarat L'Tamei, Rav Chisda Matarat L'Tamei. Rav Huna explains it according to his explanation, and Rav Chisda is going to explain it the way he learns. Rav Huna Matarat L'Tamei, this is the way Rav Huna explains the Mishnah. Bein Shekarim Behem is talking about Nevi'im, which you're allowed to learn on Shabbos. Bein Shekarim Behem is talking about Ksuvim, which we said you're not supposed to learn on Shabbos. Madvar Murim, when is this said, Sheksuvim B'Loshon HaKodesh? Specifically when they were written in Hebrew. Abachaloshon, when they're written in another language. Ematzilin, you're not allowed to say that. Vafila hochi, even though during Shabbos you're not supposed to save them when they're translated, still during the week, genizabal. And Chizda Matarat L'Tamei, Bein Shekarim Behem is referring to Nevi'im. Bein She'en Karim Behem is referring to Ksuvim. Api Sheksuvim B'Koloshin, even though if they're written in a different language, which you should not have done, still Nami Matzilin. What does the Mishnah teach us then with Ketun and Geniza? When it said that if they get deteriorated and you just have like leftover crumbled paper, still even that Ketun and Geniza. So I just want to tell you two things. First of all, there's a shaila. There's the following shaila I saw. You have a number of Kisvei Kodesh and you have to save them because there's a fire and we're saying you're allowed to save them. Is there any order of preference? What goes first, what goes last? So I saw the Rishonim say that Tanakh Tarsh B'Ksav goes before Tarsh B'Peh. There's a shayla if Torah goes before Nevi'im and Nevi'im goes before Ksuvim. Most Rishonim say that all of Tanakh is the same, but it goes before Tarsh B'Peh. But I saw something very interesting from the Adaris. The Adaris says, let's say you have in your house Ksuvim that you wrote, the very Torah that you wrote, they go before everything. Because since they're Torah, and if the Chas V'Shalom get destroyed, Dagmas Nefesh is very serious. So he says that you have a right to take out your own Ksavim even before any other Svarim. A very big chiddush. Now the Shaila is, what is Torn Geniza? We're saying now that Divrei Torah require Geniza. Kisrei Kaddish require Geniza. Something we're going to talk about a lot today. What requires Geniza? What do I mean? If a Sefer gets deteriorated, we say it has to require Geniza. I saw a shayla from the Chelkas Yaakov. Let's say you have Svarim that are in good shape but will never be used. He gives a very good example. It used to be that the Marsha was a separate Sefer. But now every Gemara has a Marsha. So the Marsha as a Sefer doesn't really have much value. So just taking up room in the Svarim Shank, nobody ever looks at it. Are you allowed to be going as it or not? Is Pshat that you're only going as a Sefer when it's deteriorated? Or, what?
Old
benchers is a great example. Sidurim. Sometimes you have Sidurim or benchers, Sidurim, Machzorim, that are translated in languages that we don't use. German Machzor. Nobody would use that. So that's the shayla that he's actually talking about. So his Mekel says you could do Geniza. So Geniza is not limited to Svarim that get ruined. But then I saw an interesting shayla. Somebody had found a Uriah, a piece of a Sefer Torah from the Holocaust. That Sefer is not kosher. But they wanted to like put it into a glass case to show a Holocaust memorial. Are you allowed to do it or not? Because really it requires Geniza. This is not a Geniza. You're putting it into a glass case wherever. So I saw three sheets on it. Ramosh says it's mutter. Says that's a covet. The point of Geniza is not that you have to put it into the ground. You have to do it, treat it with respect. This is respect. Michal Shitchuk says no. Geniza means Geniza. You have to put it into the ground. And Rabbi Yashiv holds you don't have to necessarily put it into the ground, but you should not leave it exposed, that you could see the words. You should leave it rolled up. That's more Derech Eretz. It may not do what you want in terms of a museum piece, but in terms of cover safer. Bar of Chiz, continues the Gemara. Meisvei. It says a brisa hayksum tagm koloshin. If they're written in a different language, it says the brisa mitzilan shemitnayd leika. So the brisa expressly says the mitzilan shemitnayd yoke. Do you have to Rafuna? This is a question of Rafuna, who says that if they're written in a different language, you're not allowed to be matzlit. Amlach Rafuna haytana sov nitul krispan. We go back to the beginning of the Gemara. Everybody agrees that according to the Man D'Amar that you're allowed to translate it, you're allowed to save it. So it says this brisa goes according to that man d'amar. Toshma, it's another brisa. Haisa suvim giftis. Giftis is a language in the country of Gifti. Miftis, modas is in modai. Ivris, Rashi says, was the language used, the language and the alphabet that was used on the Eivor HaNoah. Ilmis, Yavonis is Greek. Afishloi nitnul krosbehen. Even though this brisa says clearly, we hold you're not allowed to read them because you should not have translated them, still says the brisa, Matzilan Yisrael Mabnayat Leika. To Yuftad Rafuna, says Amalach Rafuna, Tanai, you're right. Not what I said, that according to the man, the Omer, that you're not allowed to translate it, you're not allowed to save it, that's a machlok Tanai. The Tanya, it says a brisa. Hayksum Tagim Koloshin, it was written in different language, Matzilan Yisrael Mabnayat Leika. Rabbi Yosi Omer, I'm at Sinan Sabin Leika. I'm Rabbi Yosi. My Sababa Chalifta, Shalach Etzer Gamliel, Rabbi Litveria. So Rashi says, Rabbi Yosi is talking about his father Chalifta. He's talking about his father Chalifta. So Rabbi Kiva Ega asks, if he's talking about his father Chalifta, so how could he call your father by his name? It's not Kibra Veim. So Kiva Ega says, La Loch La Maisa, that if you say my father, then you're allowed to say your father's name. You're not allowed to say your father's name if you just call him by his first name. But if you say my father, then you're allowed to use his name. Shalach Eitzor Gamliel b'Rebbe L'Tveria. Amatcha Shayoshayach Ashulchanoi Shayoychanan Anozov. He was sitting by the Rav Gamliel was sitting by the table of Yoychanan Anozov. when Yad explains Nozov usually means he was in Chayrim. Here it doesn't mean he was in Chayrim, because he was in Chayrim, you couldn't have sat with him. That was his name. Or Yad Sefer Iyuf Targum. He had a translation of Iyuf, Vayikarboy. And he was reading it. I remember your grandfather, Rabbi Gamliel. He was standing in front of the Beis HaMikdash. Reveal in front of Sefer Iyuf Targum. They brought him a translation of Iyuf. And he told the workers, Shekua tach sanidbach. Put it under the stones. Afu tzivalov the Gaza. And he said also that this translation should be put away. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda should be buried. He says the story wasn't that they just buried it, they put on it clay. Rabbi, so Rabbi says, no. I'll give you two reasons that couldn't have happened. Did they have clay? What are you allowed to take kisvei kodesh that you don't want to use and destroy them? Ella manicham b'makom tov, you leave them exposed. So now, Rashi says that what's been makom haturfa, you leave them exposed. So most Rishonim explain according to Rashi that we have machlokes, Rebbe and our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, what do you do with kisvei kodesh that you don't use? Geniza. What does the Gemara say here? Manichem makom haturfa, you leave them exposed. It's machlokes. There's a very interesting kasha from Reb Chaim Oizer. In the Shas Tshuva Zachiezer, he says, "How could you leave them b'makom haturfa? How can you leave kisvei kodesh exposed?" So the Chazanish says, "B'makom haturfa doesn't mean leave exposed." Chazanish answers that shaila. Chazanish says, "B'makom haturfa means you leave it in a place that's going to deteriorate by itself. You leave it in a place that the elements will deteriorate it. That's makom haturfa. If that's pshat, we don't have to say it as a machloikus of Rebbe in the Mishnah." Geniza does, and the way we said before, Geniza may not mean Geniza. It means just treat it with respect. Leaving in a place where it's not just hefker, and it's going to be deteriorated on its own, would be mutter. Now, man tanoim. Who are the tanoim that, where Rav Huna says that this shaila, that if you're not allowed to translate kisvei kodesh, are you allowed to save it on Shabbos or not? Which Rav Huna said is a machlokes tanoim. Who are the tanoim? Elaim tanakam Rav Yosi. Maybe it's the Tanakam of this Maisa that says Matzilah Yisrael B'nai Adleika. Who says it's that? Who said that's his reason? Maybe the reason he holds you matzil them because he holds Nitun Likras Behen. He holds you allowed to translate him. If you allowed to translate him, we said a few times, you're certainly allowed to save it. Or Masava Loi Nitun Likras Behen. But so we're back to where starting. Who is the Tana that says that if you're not allowed to write him, you should still save him? Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi is the man that says that even though you're not allowed to write him, you should save him. The Tana the Giftus is the man that says that even though you're not allowed to write him, you should save him. Those are the two Tanoim that Rav Huna says are arguing if, even though you're not allowed to translate him, do you save him? Tana Rabban. So we get a Brisa. If they didn't write Sforim, if they didn't translate Sforim, and they didn't write Torah Shabbat, they certainly didn't write Sidurim. So HaBrachas, Brachas is if somebody has a Siddur with the Brachas in it, or Kameim, as we spoke earlier in the Pesachta, Abi She'en Yoshba and Oishas Hashem, even though they have names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it, or Minyana is Harbei, and different things about Kedusha, Minyana Harbei Shabbatayra, Eimet Tzilin Yisrael Medleika, you're not allowed to save him from a fire, El Nisrafim and Nekoivim, you have to leave them. If there's a fire, if they get burnt, they get burnt. There's a machloikus rishonim. When it says here the brachas have a shame, what does that mean as a shame? Some rishonim say that it has the shame Hashem. But even though it has the full-fledged shame Hashem spelled out, it's still not considered something that you have to save on Shabbos because you had no right to write it. Others say that it doesn't have the shame Hashem completely written out. It just has like a yud yud. But if it would have Shem Hashem, you would be allowed to save it because of the Kedushas Hashem. Mikan Amru, from here they said, Koisvei Brachas, Kesarfei Torah. Somebody lights the Brachas is like burning the Torah. Why is it that way? Because if the Chas V'Shon will be a fire, he's not going to be allowed to take out the Sfarim, and I'll come out that he, because of him, those Sfarim got burnt. So I want to tell you over something interesting. Many years ago, about 30, 40 years ago, there were a lot of tshuvas written about a specific issue. The issue was that in those days, if somebody had a contagious disease, the rule in the hospitals, the regulation in the hospital was that anything you brought into the hospital had to be burnt, could not be removed. So the shaylos and tshuvas, could you bring your tefillin? If you're going to bring your tefillin, they're not going to let you take them out. They're going to be burnt. So you're allowed to, but this person's in the hospital, he wants to put on tefillin. Is he allowed to bring the tefillin or not? So Ramosha held that he's not allowed to. Shabina Rav held he's not allowed to. And one of Ramosha's rayas from this Gemara, he says like this, listen to the rayas, it's beautiful. He says like this, somebody writes the brachas. Says the Gemara, he's called a Sarfei Taira. Why is he called somebody that's burning Taira? Because there may be a fire in your house, and if there's going to be a fire, you're not allowed to take it out, and it's considered you burnt the Taira. Who says there's going to be a fire? Who says the fire is going to affect these things? The Gemara already calls him Sarfei Taira. So think about the situation, Rav Moshe says, where there's no Shaila. For sure it's going to be burnt. That person is certainly a Sarfei Taira, and he's not allowed to bring the tefillin to the house. So he goes without, he says he should not, he's Potter, he's an Oinus.
Did anyone argue against the motion?
Yeah, this is a, says the Gemara, there was a story that was writing these brachas in Sidon. And they notified Rabbi Shmuel that he's doing the wrong thing, because as we just explained, you're not allowed to write the brachas. So Rabbi Shmuel came up to visit, to see what's going on. As he was going up this ladder, so he figured out what Rabbi Shmuel is coming. He took a whole pile of these storm of these pages, and he threw into a pile of water. So Rabbi Shmuel told him, what you did the second time is worse than the first time. Writing them is wrong, but you didn't, you weren't mevazeh them. You didn't treat them without respect. Here you took the shame Hashem and you threw it into a barrel of wine. You caused that the name of Hashem should be erased. Asked Rav Yecheskel Abramsky in the Chazon Yecheskel. He says like this, we're going to learn the halacha is like this. Let's say somebody has on his hand or anywhere on his body the Shem Hashem written. I'm not advocating that that's mutter, but this is the story. He has on a Shem Hashem. Is he allowed to take a bath when he goes into the bathtub, or he's allowed to go to the mikveh?
And,
right, and then the name will come off. So the halach is he's allowed to. Why? Because it's only a grammar. It's not considered you erased it. So ask Rav Cheskel Abramsky if that's not considered erasing Mechika Shem Shemayim, because you didn't do it expressly to erase it. So why are we angry this person that threw the brachas into a pail of water? So he answers like this, and I'm going to explain this way. The Gemara said in Amun Aleph, when they had the Shem Hashem, she said put on it some tit, put on it clay. So the Shaila like this, if you have in your shul, the shuls that used to be quite often like this, soak them on the wall. Are you allowed to paint that wall? Can you paint over that those psukim? So the halach is you're allowed to. If you have something written on a piece of paper, a pasuk, you're not allowed to write on top of it. Why? Why am I allowed to paint on top of the psukim and not write on top of the words on the paper? The answer that Rishonim already give is painting over the wall is I'm painting. This is the way you paint. The lower coat gets covered by the upper coat. But when you don't write usually on top of one on top of another, why would somebody write on top of something written? Because he wants to get rid of it. If you want to get rid of it, that's called Mechika Shem Shemayim, even if you didn't do a direct action. So now let's apply it to the Shaila. If somebody is taking a bath, he's going to the mikveh, and he has Shem Hashem on his hand. He's taking a bath. He's going to the mikveh. That's not the way he's getting rid of it. This person wasn't just putting things into a pail of water because they belong in a pail of water. Sturm don't belong in a pail of water. He was trying to get rid of them. So even if it wasn't a direct mechika, that's already considered under the category of Mechika Shem Shemayim. continues the Gemara. Ba'amine Resh Glossum Rabbi Barafuna. Hayek Suvim, if the Sfarim were written, Basam is with some sort of a paint, Basikra is a red pigment, Bakumis, Bakankatim. Kumis is some sort of a gum, Bakankatim is also ferrous sulfate. B'loshen HaKadosh, Metzilin Samapnei Adleika. If they were written in Hebrew, but they were written with these inks that are not the ink you're supposed to write, is that halacha metzilin some b'nei leka or ein metzilin? Do you save it on Shabbos or not? And the Gemara explains itself. To boil man d'amel metzilin, it's a question according to man d'amel that says that were matzil the svarim that you weren't supposed to write, the ones that are translated, and to boil man d'amel ein metzilin. And it's also a question according to man d'amel that you don't save them. Explains the Gemara. To buy a man, you know when, hanimili, you know when you don't save him. Hechid exivit belosin kaidish. Hechid exivit targum. When they're written in a language they were not supposed to be written in. Aval hocha, the exivit belosin kaidish. They're written in the light language, metzilim. Because it's just the ink that's not right, but the language is right. I don't know, you could say the other way. I feel a man that you're allowed to save him, even though you shouldn't have had them written in translation. That's only when they're written in ink. The Mekayim, that list. Since it won't last, because these inks don't last, you're not matzil them. Under such circumstances, you shouldn't salvage them. Ask the Gemara for Ramnuna Tana Matzilin. Rav Hamnuna taught us a brayse that says that even though they're written in the inks that don't withstand, don't last, you should be matzal them. Amalei itanya tanya. If it says so in a brayse, I stand corrected. Ask the Gemara, my tanya, what the brayse is referring to? Am Ravashi kritanya. Ain ben svarim lemegillah. There is no difference between all kisvei kodesh between a Torah and a Megillah. El shesvarim nichtam b'chaloshin. Svarim are written in every language. A Megillah achtek suva ashuris al sefer ubediyoy. It has to be ashuris. Svarim doesn't mean Torah. It has to be dafka ashuris. It has to be dafka sefer. It has to be diyoy. So you see that all svarim can be written in other languages, in other inks, not dafka diyoy. Only Megillah has to be diyoy. Ask the Rajva. Great question. The Rajba asks, what's the halacha on Shabbos? If somebody, we learned a few blad ago, the Malacha Kaisif. If somebody's going to go write on Shabbos, not with diyoy, not with black ink, he's going to write with a pencil, or write with red ink, he won't be chayif for Kaisif? Of course he'll be chayif for Kaisif. So why should that not make, why should there be a shaila in the Gemara, if you shouldn't save such a sefer? So, the Rajba says a very interesting teretz. The test for something being kisvei HaKadosh and the test for something being considered writing is a different standard altogether. The standard for writing is that you wrote. Writing means you have to write with some sort of ink. So as long as it's ink, even though it's not the best ink that will last, doesn't make a difference. Here we're determining, does this have the status of kisvei HaKadosh? And the Gemara is thinking that if it can't last because it wasn't written with diyoy, it doesn't get the status of kisvei HaKadosh, and only kisvei HaKadosh did Chazal give us the heter, nothing else. Bar minei Rav Huna bar Cholim Rav Nachman. Sefer Torah she'en bo lelakot shmona v'chamishim oishyos. If a Sefer Torah doesn't have more than 85 letters, kigoyim parasha v'hibin tsoyer v'oyrim, like the parasha of v'hibin tsoyer, that parasha, that pasuk, has only 85 letters. Is the halacha metzilin shem b'nei leka, or ein metzilin? Are you allowed to save it or not? Amrei, v'tibalach parasha v'hibin tsoyer gufa. Why are you telling me if it only has... Talk about Pasha v'Yim Tzoyer. And he says, why don't you ask the following Shaila? You have a Sefer Torah that everything got erased. The only thing that's left is this one Pasha v'Yim Tzoyer. So he says, Hechad, so says the Gemara, Hechad, the Chaser, Pasha v'Yim Tzoyer, Loi M'Boile, the Kiva, the Esbay Haskaris, Avgav, the Lesbay, Shemanim, Chamesh, Oysus, Metzilin. Even if you'll have a Sefer, that even that's left as that parsha v'hibin soya, and in that v'hibin soya, you're missing letters. There's still no shaila that you should be matzlet. Why? Because parshas v'hibin soya has the Shem Hashem, and like we said many times today, Shem Hashem we have to treat with great respect, and if it's there, you certainly have to salvage it. Ki kamaboyle, our question is. Sefer Torah she'em b'alelaket. It doesn't have 85 letters, and it doesn't have Shem Hashem. Mai, what's the halacha? Amalei, so he told him ein metzilin. Under such circumstances, you're not allowed to be matzil Sefer Torah. Eisvei, so he asked the question. Targum shekosh v'mikra. If you have words in the Torah. The Gemara, Rashi uses the example, certain words in the Torah are written originally in the Aramaic. Yigar Sahadusa. Those are two words in the Chumash that are Aramaic. And you went in Shikas for Mikra, you wrote them in Hebrew. Or vice versa. Mikra Shikas for Targum. You have words that are in Hebrew and you wrote the Targum. Or Rash, or Viksav Ivris. Or if it was written in Ivris, Metzilin Tsoi Mened Leika. That's good enough that you should save for the Leika. It goes without saying, Targum Shebe Ezra Shebe Daniel, because the whole Sefer Ezra and the whole Sefer Daniel were originally written in Aramaic. Shebe Torah, or the words in the Torah that were written in Aramaic. Now ask the Gemara, Targum Shebe Torah Mayneu, what are the words in the Torah that are in Aramaic? Yagasa Dusa. So now the Mishnah is saying that as long as you have that, the Brice is saying, as long as you have words of the Torah, seemingly, there are no 85 letters. Still, matzilin. So we see that you always matzil, even if you don't have the 85. And it says the Gemara, ki tanya hi lahashlam. No, it's not talking that you had 85 letters without these words help you get to 85 letters. In other words, let's say you had 80 letters, and the last five letters are words of Hebrew that you put into Aramaic. That's still good enough to be matzil. But what's going to be the halacha that if you don't have 85 letters either? That I don't know. Hani, ask the Gemara. So, Hani, Ibailu, Hani Shman v'chamesh oishis. That was saying you have to have 85 letters. M'chunas oishim v'fazaris. Do they have to all be together or they could be all over? You could have a big Torah scroll and you have 85 letters. You won't even have one letter on a Uriah. Okay, no. Rafuna Amar. Mechnasos. Rav Huna says they have to be together. Rav Chisda Amar Afil Mechzaris. Even if they're not together. Meisvei asked the Gemara Rav Huna. It says Sefer Torah Shebala Im Yesh Bala Lakut Shemana Mechamash Oisius. You have a Sefer Torah that got ruined. If you could get together 85 Oisius, Kigoyim Pashv Hibin Tzoyah Ba'Oren. Where do we get the number 85 from? Pashv Hibin Tzoyah Matzilin V'Lav Im Matzilin. Now explains Tosfos. This Brisa does not differentiate where those 85 letters are. All it says is, if you have 85 letters, you're allowed to save it. So it's mashma, even if they're mefuzaris. So what's Rav Huna saying only mechuznasois? Tiyufta Rav Huna. Answers the Gemara, Tergmer Rav Chizda, leave the Rav Huna betavis. So this is the way Rishonim explained the Gemara. If you have 85 letters, but those 85 letters are words, and there everybody agrees that even if they're spread out, you have to save the Sefer Torah. He's talking about a case where those 85 letters can't be put together into words. You just have 85 letters spread out. Rav Huna says if they're just 85 letters and they can't be formed into words, less than 85, and they can't be formed into words, it's nothing. Rav Chisda says no, as long as you have 85 letters, it's a Sefer and you have to be matzlet. Says the Noida B'Yehuda, from here we see a Sefer Torah Shebala, certainly if it still has words that equal 85 letters, has a Kedusha. And that's what halacha is. It has to be treated the exact same way as a Sefer Torah. You have to keep it in Aron HaKodesh, and you have to give it the same respect. The Michsalazar takes it even a step further. He says that if Chas V'Shalom, such a Sefer should fall, the halacha would be you have to fast just the same way as a Kosher Sefer Torah. You have a Sefer Torah that has 85 letters, not nothing. If it falls Chas V'Shalom, you have to fast. But I saw an interesting thing from the Das Torah from the Marsham. He says, what happens if Chas V'Shalom, a Sefer Torah falls on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur by davening, Rechmanon Tzlan, Sefer Torah falls. Do you have to fast another day? Or is the Tainus of Yom Kippur that we're fasting anyway going to work for that? He says it will work. The Slicha Kapara we have for Yom Kippur will also give us a Slicha Kapara for this, since Yom Kippur is the biggest Slicha Kapara. I just end off with this thing. Here we're seeing that 85 is the minimum amount of letters that a Sefer Torah is supposed to have to be considered Kaddish. What does 85 represent? So the Pashup Shad 85, we'll talk about this more tomorrow, because Vehibin Soya Oren has 85 letters. But the Sfarim say that what is 85? Peh, our mouth. The Liman is, what are we supposed to use our mouths for? What are we supposed to use the Peh? For Torah. And that's why those that daven Nusach Sfarad, Keser Yitn Lucha, the Nusach of Keser, has 85 letters.